After the building of the tabernacle and setting it up with the pieces of furniture all in place, after the priest's garments were made and then put on Aaron and his sons, all was then anointed with oil, dedicating all to the service of the Lord. Then after the altar of the burnt offering was set up in the court, Moses set up the laver between the tabernacle and the brazen altar, put water in it, Moses and Aaron and his sons washed their hands and feet thereat when they went in to the tent of the congregation, and when they came near unto the altar, they washed, as the Lord commanded Moses. And Moses reared up the court round about the tabernacle and the altar, and set up the hanging of the court gate. So Moses finished the work. Exodus 40:30-33. Now then, after this, we read of another provision for the people for their journeyings in the wilderness. And in it we shall see what God has given to us as well today. I will read verses 34-38 of Exodus 40. And if you have your Bible handy, please open to Exodus 40 and read along with me, beginning with verse 38. It's all about the cloud, which figured greatly in all Israel's journeyings in the wilderness. I'll read the verses. Then a cloud covered the tent of the congregation, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. And Moses was not able to enter into the tent of the congregation, because the cloud abode thereon, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. And when the cloud was taken up from over the tabernacle, the children of Israel went onward in all their journeys. But if the cloud were not taken up, then they journeyed not till the day that it was taken up. For the cloud of the Lord was upon the tabernacle by day, and fire was on it by night, in the sight of all the house of Israel throughout all their journeys. That's Exodus 40, 34-38. It's the end of the book of Exodus. That was God's provision for Israel's guidance and protection as they journeyed through the wilderness after they came out of the land of Egypt. Let us go back in Israel's history and see the part the cloud had in it. In what happened to them, we have types or pictures of what is true concerning us, the people of God today. They had a protector, we have a protector. They had a guide, we have a guide. They were not left to their own resources, we are not left to ours. God's goodness and grace is seen not only in saving us from sin and its slavery, but in providing everything needful, every step of our pilgrim journey through the world until we reach the Father's house in heaven. As sinners, we need a Savior. As captives, we need a deliverer. As pilgrims, we need a guide. And our Father has given us all in Christ. He gave His Son to save and deliver us, and He has given us His Holy Spirit and His Word to guide us and provide for us. This is what I wish to show by referring to Israel's history, which again I remind us that it was written, and we have it in the Old Testament, for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. Romans 14:4. The first mention of the cloud is in Exodus 13. When Pharaoh finally let the people go after the judgment of God upon the firstborn of Egypt, and at the same time, the firstborn of Israel were all spared because they took shelter in their houses where the blood of the Lamb was applied, God led His people out of the land of Egypt by the way of the Red Sea. What a joy it must have been to them as they journeyed from Succoth and camped in Etham in the edge of the wilderness to see the pillar of cloud to lead them in the way. Exodus 13:21. They did not know which way to go, but the Lord went before them by day in a pillar of cloud to lead them the way, and by night in a pillar of fire to give them light, to go by day and night. He took not away the pillar of the cloud by day nor the pillar of fire by night from before them. The Lord went before them. Oh, how gracious of Him to do so! But surely it was just like Him. Would He redeem a people from slavery, set them free, and not take charge of them to guide and protect them? No, indeed. The cloud was actually the symbol of the pledge of His divine presence that would make them independent of circumstances and enabling them to go either by day or night. As soon as they left Egypt, it was there. Does this not picture for us the wondrous truth that is set forth in Ephesians 1:13, referring to all believers in Christ since the day of Pentecost, and I quote, "In whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, having believed, ye were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise." You see, the Savior promised that the Spirit would come to indwell them and guide them into all truth. As soon as one believes, he is provided with the divine presence of the Holy Spirit to guide, and also, as we shall see, to protect. The cloud led them from Etham toward the Red Sea. When Pharaoh heard of their departure, he pursued them with his armies. With mountains on either side and the Red Sea before them, the people of Israel were shut up and were sore afraid. Unbelief made them wish that they were back in Egypt. Fearful of the unknown and not yet knowing the full protection of Jehovah, their own folly was manifested. Ah, but Moses, full of faith, said, "Fear ye not, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. The Lord shall fight for you." The Lord said, "Go forward." The pillar of the cloud went from before their face and stood behind them, and it came between the camp of the Egyptians and the camp of Israel. And it was a cloud of darkness to them, but it gave light by night to the Israelites so that the Egyptians could not come near the Israelites. Jehovah stood between his redeemed people and protected them from their Egyptian enemies. The cloud was a symbol of his presence. The Egyptians were powerless to do a thing. Just so, do we not see portrayed here that wonderful truth for us today? If God be for us, who can be against us? Romans 8:31, and also in Hebrews 13:5, "The Lord is my helper, I will not fear what man shall do unto me." The way the Lord delivered them was a miracle of divine power. The Red Sea opened for them that they passed over on dry ground. God used a strong east wind to blow all night to divide the waters, which became a wall unto them on either side. After all the Egyptians passed over, the Egyptians presumed to follow. However, as they were in the midst of the sea, the Lord looked upon this host of the enemies of his people through the pillar of cloud and the pillar of fire, and troubled the Egyptians. He took off their chariot wheels, and they bogged down in the river bottom. And at the command of the Lord, Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and the waters came upon the Egyptians, their chariots and horsemen. The waters completely covered them all. They drowned, and there remained not so much as one of them. Thus we read the Lord saved Israel that day out of the hand of the Egyptians. And Israel saw the Egyptians dead upon the seashore. Israel saw the great work which the Lord did upon the Egyptians, and the people feared the Lord and believed the Lord and his servant Moses. Exodus 14:30 and 31. It was then that Israel burst out in song, Exodus 15. Oh, how happy they were for the presence of the Lord in the cloud. But alas, it wasn't long in their journey that they realized the nature of the wilderness they were in, and God was going to have to teach them that all resources for their needs were to be found in him alone. They soon forgot the mighty power of the Lord at the Red Sea, and when they found they were low in food, they began to murmur and again asserted how much better it was in Egypt when they had enough to eat. Yet, alas, at the same time, they forgot all the dreadful bondage they were in as slaves to Pharaoh. But notice the faithfulness of our God. The cloud which guided them out of Egypt, the cloud that protected them and delivered them from their enemies at the Red Sea, is to be the same cloud which would graciously symbolize the Lord's gracious provision for them in meeting even their daily needs of food. The Lord promised Moses that he would rain bread down from heaven for them, a certain rate every day, enough for the perhaps 2.5 million people. Moses conveys this to Aaron who spoke to the people and told them the Lord had heard their murmurings against him. But as Aaron spoke, a most wonderful expression of grace occurred, and I quote, "As Aaron spoke, behold, the glory of the Lord appeared in the cloud." Oh, what tender considerations for his people. What grace to them who didn't deserve such mercy. But God proves himself as the one who would not only shelter them from judgment, guide them in the way, but he wanted to provide for them in every way. Oh, how clearly it reminds us of God's promise to us, his people, today. Philippians 4:19, "My God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus." Grace met their murmurings with manna, the bread from heaven. The manna that he sent them pictures the Lord Jesus Christ come into this world to give life to all who receive him personally by faith. He said, "I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst." The moment we eat of him for the first time, so to speak, and eating is believing, we receive eternal life. And then, day by day as we feed on him, we are nourished and sustained by him as he is presented to us in the Holy Scriptures by the Holy Spirit. All we need to do is to go out and gather the manna, gathered on our knees. And oh, how sweet it is to the taste, how nourishing to the soul. And as the cloud was ever there, so the Lord is ever near to feed his people, like the great shepherd of the sheep. He prepares a table before us in the presence of our enemies. He is ever the host who feeds his own with food according to our needs. Soon after this, Moses was called by God to go up on the mountain. For 40 days he was there receiving instructions for the building of the tabernacle. The people became restless. Instead of having their eye on the cloud and being content to wait under the shadow of its protection and feed daily on the faithful provision of manna, they had their eye on Moses, the human leader, rather than on Jehovah, the true and divine leader. And Moses had gone. And they insisted that they make themselves gods to go before them, to replace Moses that they could see no longer. They break off their golden earrings, brought all to Aaron who received it from them, and he fashioned a golden calf to be worshipped as the God who brought them out of Egypt. Think of it. Oh, how like the departure and apostasy of Christendom today, when the Lord is lost sight of as the alone leader of his people, something else must take his place. And anything that displaces Christ is an idol, a golden calf, whether it be man or a system, a preacher or priest, organized religion, having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof. This is all hateful to Jehovah, and he declares his wrath which fell upon them. He instructed Moses to take the tent of meeting and pitch it far away from the camp of Israel. He could not sanction the people's action by his presence. Hence we read in Exodus 33:7, "And it came to pass that everyone which sought the Lord went out onto the tent of meeting of the congregation which was without the camp." Then we read, "It came to pass as Moses entered into the tent of meeting, the cloudy pillar descended and stood at the door of the tent of meeting. And the Lord talked with Moses, and all the people saw the cloudy pillar stand at the door of the tent of meeting. And all the people rose up and worshiped, every man in his tent door." Thus we see that when any of the children of Israel realized the Lord's displeasure with what went on in the camp, and they separated themselves from the evil association, and they sought the Lord pledged his presence with them by descending in the cloudy pillar outside the camp. Today, professing Christendom has allowed many evils of man's innovations and intrusions. Many idols have been put into the testimony of Christ on earth in the professing church. Christ's authority in the Word Christ's place as the center, the Holy Spirit's leadership, are all set aside for man and human arrangement and organization. With this, my friend, God is displeased. And he says through Paul in Hebrews 13:13, appealing to those who have a heart for the Lord, "Let us go forth therefore unto him without, outside the camp, bearing his reproach." And where can we find the Lord today if we're seeking him? Matthew 18:20, in the words of the Lord Jesus, tells us, "Where two or three are gathered together unto my name, there am I in the midst of them." Had Jehovah not been pleased with those who separated themselves from the camp, being drawn outside by the desire to seek him only, the cloud would not have descended to show God's pleasure. And my dear listening friend, if we as believers today follow the same path, that is, separate from all that is contrary to the Word of God, and gather only to the name of the Lord Jesus Christ alone, we can have the assurance of Jesus who says, "There am I in the midst of them." Oh, how blessed it is that in these days of much religious confusion, there does abide a divine solution and resource for God's people who wish to please the Lord and give him his rightful place in the center of our gathering and the supreme place as head to direct in our worship and service by the Holy Spirit's power. The Lord knows all who seek him and his glory and encourages such who give him his rightful place in the words of Revelation 3:8, and I quote, "I know thy works. Behold, I have set before thee an open door, and no man can shut it. For thou hast a little strength, and hast kept my word, and hast not denied my name. Because thou hast kept the word of my patience, I also will keep thee from or out of the hour of tribulation, which shall come upon all the world to try them that dwell upon the earth." Thus the presence of the Lord is promised to us today, just as it was symbolized to Israel in the pillar of cloud by day and the pillar of fire by night. They were never without a guide, day or night, and they were never unprotected. Psalm 105:39 says, "He spread a cloud for a covering and fire to give light in the night." Oh, what loving kindness is seen in this. All they had to do was to keep their eye on the cloud. In Numbers 9:15-23, we read, "The commandment of the Lord and the cloud together directed their every step in their journeys." When the cloud was taken up from the tabernacle, then after that the children of Israel journeyed. And in the place where the cloud abode, there the children of Israel pitched their tents. At the commandment of the Lord, they rested in their tents, and at the commandment of the Lord, they journeyed. They kept the charge of the Lord at the commandment of the Lord by the hand of Moses. You see, nothing was left for their own discretion, and all went well with them as they followed his divine guidance. It is the same with us today. We have the commandment of the Lord in his holy word, which is a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. We also have the Holy Spirit of God, who keeps Christ before us as our leader, our shepherd, our guide, so that we not only have direction, but also sustenance and fellowship through his loving care and provision day by day, every step of our way, a way in which we know not what lies before us, but the way which he knows. And by looking to him by faith, keeping our eye on him, living close to him, we will realize his promise, "I will guide thee with mine eye." Psalm 32:8. My friend, do you know and possess the Savior as your shepherd? Oh, you do need him. And he wants you to accept him by faith as the good shepherd who gave his life for you on the cross to save you eternally. And then he wants to be your guide. He wants to be the cloud, so to speak, to guide you in paths of blessing throughout your journey here until he brings you to the Father's house above. Let us then keep our eye on the cloud. Let us keep our ear open to his word.